Welcome to the Leading Visionaries Podcast, featuring stellar conversations with emerging and established leading visionaries. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate and spotlight the leading visionaries who are thinking differently, seeing new possibilities, have the courage to dream big, take inspired action, and create conscious change all around the world. Now, here's your host, Angel B. Hartwell.
Welcome to another episode of the Leading Visionaries Podcast, where we celebrate the ingenious, insightful, innovative, and inspired leading visionaries of our time and provide our listeners with world-class examples of the kind of courage, clarity, and confidence it takes to bring visions into reality. This is your host, Angel B. Hartwell, and today we welcome our special guest, Karen Rudolph. Karen is a catalyst for positive change. As a life strategist, author, presenter, facilitator, and nurse, she teaches and supports others on the path of spiritual awakening and self-discovery through the art of finding one's voice and empowering the teams around you. She's developed a process which supports her clients on unraveling the truths about what they want so ultimately they can live a more fulfilled, more passionate, higher performance life. She's created a career in re-engineering human perception. Welcome to the show, Karen. So delighted to have you here.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Well, I want to start, Karen, because this show is called Leading Visionaries. I want to start with your, like, maybe your visionary journey. I'd love to hear, do you feel like you have always been visionary, or is that something that happened as a result of some kind of spiritual intervention or awakening on your life path?
It's probably a little bit of all of the above. I mean, I've always known I was on a healing path, always since I was a little girl. When I used to play in the forest with the leaves and my little Barbie dolls and healing them. And so I always knew it was within me. I just didn't know what it was about and whatnot. And fast forward in my 20s, I had a near-death experience. And I knew from that moment that I was meant for something bigger than myself.
Okay.
And I've been following ever since.
Yeah. Well, so you just got the psychic chill just talking about the near-death experience. So for our listeners, there are a number of different ways that you can, you know, discover that you're visionary. It might be something that's fostered in your home. It might be from an experience like a near-death experience. It could be from a different kind of spiritual awakening. I had a spiritual awakening myself in a yoga class. So this ability to perceive in a visionary way can come in a number of ways. So Karen, for you, it was all about healing. So I'd love to have you speak a little bit more about how healing now kind of bridges into who you are today in terms of being a catalyst for positive change.
Yeah, absolutely. My nursing journey, I burnt out very early on because I'm an empath and I didn't know how to manage that or how to redirect that and such. So I got burnt out nursing. And fast forward came divorce and I didn't know what I didn't know. And I was in pity party and all of that. And all of a sudden it came to me when my horse got struck by lightning. And I remember the vet saying very clearly, you're going through a divorce. You have three children, put them down. And I just remember closing my eyes, getting still and flinging my eyes open. He's inches from my face. And without even thought, it was like, I just puked on him. Like, no, I'm going to be, he and I are going to be catalysts for change. And I looked at him and he looked at me and I'm like, I don't know where that came from, but that was just something that felt very right within me. And then right around the same time, my mom, who was a hypochondriac, sadly, she was 72 years old and started painting and she had no one to show her paintings to. So she went to the doctors and the doctor, when you go to a doctor, they're going to treat the symptoms. So she went with a migraine and they gave her some medication for that. And then she painted a new, and she brought her paintings with her, ooh and ah, and everybody, all the attention that came with that. And then she went on to paint another picture and called them up and said, well, now the medication you gave me made me nauseous. And this continued until she was on 19 medications later. And I literally had to drop everything and go scrape her off the floor. I didn't see my mother on the floor. I saw a young gal in a fetal position. And all I saw was somebody who wanted to be seen, heard, understood, and loved. And I said, not on my watch. The buck stops here. And I've been on that forward momentum as a catalyst for change ever since, like really creating advocacy and awareness within people that they have choice. They have a power within themselves to, for me, it's more about, you know, Shakespeare said in 1522, to thine own self be true in the play Hamlet, right? And it's referenced in the Bible as well. And it's really knowing yourself. It comes from the inside out.
Well, and so, you know, why don't we talk a little bit about what happened when you made that decision with your mom? Like, you were like, no, this is not going to keep moving forward here. What were some of the things that you supported her with that might translate over into how you're supporting your clients today?
Well, it took me on the path of my own self-discovery mm-hmm. and how can I support others until I really get myself out of the way. I was going through a divorce. You know, I had no self-worth myself mm-hmm. as a result of mom, you know, and I remember having to go before the courts, and I did not want the courts to decide who was going to be the judge over my life, the rest of my life. And then it dawned on me, I'm my daughter's first advocate. I'm their first teacher. What am I teaching them? So I delved into communication courses. And I ended up coaching in India for a year, communication distinctions. And I started talking to my mom in my discovery of what was possible. I, for whatever reason, I got into quantum physics in a huge way, neuroscience in a huge way, had no idea what I was doing or why I was doing it, but I couldn't get enough of it. The world became my oyster at that point. And then I got into other things. One of the things I got into was heart math at the time. And I was really able to support my mother and others at that point of really finding that neutrality of stress management. And then, of course, I had a psych background in nursing, and stress was a big, you know, stress is the number one killer in the nation, in the country, in the world. And, you know, how do we support ourselves doing that? You're getting out of that space. So it's been my vision ever since. Yeah.
Beautiful. All right. So, you know, the show is called Leading Visionaries. So let's talk a little bit about your leadership journey. So from what we just heard, mostly you started with self-leadership. So yeah. I'd love to have you talk a little bit about the journey into self-leadership. And then from there, you know, beyond into working with and leading other people, either as a catalyst or, you know, on a team.
Yeah. So both. I mean, teamwork has always been, you know, for me, it's about community. You know, we can't be without community. I mean, that's just part of, and that's even goes into longevity and self-wellness. So team, for me, it always begins and ends with self. So once I was able to really understand myself and who I was and my strengths, leaders create leaders. Mm. And so it was me stepping out of my own way to create my own leadership and then start supporting other leaders. I had a huge accident back in January where I was like, I'm focusing on my hips. I went flying off a horse, fell on my butt. Wasn't the most graceful moments in my life, but I really did a lot of damage. And I had major surgery in Costa Rica. I didn't speak the language. So I had a lot of time to self-reflect in the moment. And I remember picking up the phone and saying, I need a team, you know, need to help getting home. I need help communicating with the consulate and with the, you know, so on and so forth. And American Express had a medical rescue kind of. So I was on the phone with so many different people, and I just kept delegating and focusing strictly on my health. Prior to that, I'm part of a creativity community, and I was down in South Africa facilitating a program down there quite a number of years ago. And I remember creating team with the teachers down there. It was a facilitation for businessmen, and the other half of the program was for educators. And the first year I went down, I listened. I used my communication skills and I listened to what was missing, wanted, and needed. And then I found myself going back the second year and really creating a team out of the educators, the people who run the schools, and so on and so forth. And they really got what they needed to educate these children after the government had taken their books and their pencils and everything else had been confiscated. And the teachers came to me like, how do we do that? It was like, for me, that was play. I always played with puzzles as a kid. And now it was like, okay, creative problem solving, let's do it. So that was a big moment. And then I created teams at the Jacksonville Sheriff's Department where, you know, it's so easy for so many leaders to start pointing the finger at everybody else, but they forget three are coming back at them. So it always wears, you know, we have a choice between responding or reacting. And when you're reacting, you're blaming everybody else. When you're responding, you're taking ownership of that and being responsible. So I was able to create a team between the one faction of it was sort of like a CNIS group of, and I was told, do not ask them what's out there in the world, just support them. And it was mostly stress. They were really stressed out. And then the other faction was their technology department, but there was no communication between the two of them. So for me, it's all about play work. So I create leaders through experiential play work because it's not significant. When it's significant, that's when the guard comes up. That's when it's like everybody else's fault but my own. But if I'm playing with it, it's like I see something differently. I was throwing balls and doing all sorts of fun stuff. And it really hit home. And I really made an impact specifically on the gentleman in the tech department who was watching me setting up the room, and he's watching me and watching me. And he said, you can't teach me anything new. I've been here 35 years and I've had to do this before. And I'm like, okay, I'm not making you do anything, knowing that through osmosis, him just being in the room, he's going to get something. Mm-hmm. So I turned around and walked away. I was like, okay. So he was the one that came up to me out of everybody the second day. And he said, wow, I've never ever seen anything like this before. Thank you. So every time I make a difference, I'm not sitting there going, oh, look at me, look at me. It's like, wow, like I really got that this is within me and I'm leading from passion and purpose and then innate vision that I created so many years ago.
Oh, beautiful. Well, we're going to take a short break, Karen, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about more specifics about how you support your clients. Right now, though, listeners, are you a leading visionary or in the role of leading other visionaries? Consider joining our community and sharing your feedback and takeaways from each episode. We invite you to join us and support this podcast by making a donation at leadingvisionariespodcast.com. Interested in finding out more about how you can receive support for getting your vision out of the air and onto the ground? You can apply to qualify for a complimentary consultation with me or a member of my team by clicking the Connect with Angel button on the website. Be sure to share this show in your own spirals of influence with the people that you think might benefit from our content. I want to say a huge thank you to all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We're welcoming thousands of downloads from all over the world. We're now in 16 countries. So we're going to shout out this week to our listeners in Florida, which is where Karen is, as well as to our listeners in the Bahamas and South Africa. And we will be right back with Karen Rudolph.
The Leading Visionaries podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Are you the one who thinks differently, who is called to create a significant conscious change in the world, who is seeing and dreaming of a better way for your industry, your community, humanity? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to guide leading visionaries just like you who want to break through the static in order to clearly express and confidently enroll support for their vision in a way that makes it inevitable that it will come to pass. Your word is your wand, and as the leader, your ability to articulate and communicate your vision is essential to its materialization and monetization. please enjoy with our compliments a free copy of the book Be Heard by Millions and Live Your Destiny, which was a number one new release in three categories to get you started. The book is yours by visiting gift.leadingvisionariespodcast.com.
And we are back with Karen Rudolph. You can find out more about Karen and download a free ebook that she has at tranquilsolutions.com. And it's Soul, S-O-U-L, solutions.com. We'll have that for you in the show notes. And so, Karen, before we dive back into the questions, tell us a little bit about what they're going to find when they get there.
Oh, they're going to find a book called Embrace the Shift. And what that's about is really your word creating your reality, and your word in particular, your health and well-being, because it begins and ends with self, and your health is your wealth. So the words you speak is going to be what you're bringing into your space.
Beautiful. I love that. All right. So before we went to the break, we were talking about some of the ways that you help facilitate in other organizations to help teams come together, and that you're using play and communication. What I'd love to have you talk about now is, you said, I mentioned in your introduction that you've developed a process that supports your clients to unravel the truths about what they want so that they can ultimately live a more fulfilled, more passionate, higher performance life. So could you tell us a little bit about this process? We'd love to hear it.
Yes. I like to call it a three-step process, but it gets deep. It gets really deep. It's really about looking at your strengths and your weaknesses without judgment. I focus on the strengths and I don't put as much focus on the weakness, but we do want to at least look at them and acknowledge them. And it's really, everything is energy. So when we look from a space of energy, it's like, where are you focusing your energy? And then I teach embodiment work, how to embody that energy that you really want to embody to become the leader. I had a call today with a gentleman who he forgot who he was. And all I had to do was mention one word of what he was committed to. And all of a sudden his energy shifted. And once your energy shifts, all of a sudden you step back into whom you were meant to be, and all the chatter and self-talk from the past goes away. So it's really practicing and teaching people how to practice, what to practice. And it takes energy. It takes commitment. It takes doing the work. And then once you get on the other side, for lack of better, it's almost like future pacing yourself, where you're envisioning yourself in scenarios and how your imagination is a powerful tool, and how your imagination is going to be there for you to serve you before it happens. So we practice that as well and do a little play acting around that. And there's so much more to it, but that's pretty much the gist of getting through.
Beautiful. All right. Well, I want to talk a little bit about, I want to go back to that story about how when you needed a team, because our listeners around the world are either leading visionaries who are deep into bringing visions into reality, or they're aspiring into leadership, or they're, you know, just awakening into their vision. And one of the things that you mentioned in this Costa Rica story was you understood that you needed to have a team. And I think a lot of visionaries can sometimes feel overwhelmed. They can sometimes, you know, short circuit their vision because they aren't willing necessarily, or they don't maybe even think they deserve, right, to have support. So can you talk a little bit either about your own personal process for allowing yourself support, for allowing yourself to ask for help, or, you know, how you help your clients to do that as well?
Right. Well, first to start with myself, I mean, it begins with self. And you've got to remember, I've been doing so much of the work over the years. For so many years, I've invested in bucket load within my time, energy, and support, because I'm worth it. When I started my journey, I didn't think I was worth it. I didn't even I couldn't even look you in the eye, let alone be on a podcast talking to anybody at this point. But the more I practiced, my self-confidence started showing up. And the more I started asking questions, the more my self-confidence. And I like to refer to many of my clients, they can relate to driving a car. You know, when you're in a car, what happens is like when you first remember who was sitting next to you when you were driving the car, you were nervous as crap, you know, and you're sitting there going, what do I do first? Turn the key or do the mirror or, you know, whatever. But then the more you did it, now it becomes second nature, right? We don't know what we don't know until we know it. So once we get to that point of acknowledging that we have it, the word that came up for me while I was in Costa Rica was surrender. And I've learned from a spiritual context, I have no control over what I don't have control over. So I'm going to surrender to the moment, which allows me to breathe. It allows me to think clearer, and it allows me to be with, okay, this is what's so. Now, what can I do? How do you bite an elephant? One bite at a time. So what can I do right here, right now, in this moment? My end goal is to get myself home to Florida. You know, my end goal is to get me home to my home. You know, my end goal is to be able to speak English and be understood. And so I had so many things going on at the time. Plus, I was managing pain, which, thank goodness, I do a lot of breath work. So even when I'm not in pain, I still believe in breath work. It's just that simple, what I teach from a space of stop, change, and shift. So it's the pause button. It's hitting the pause button. And what you do is you stop the action by taking that deep breath. On a physiological context, you're bringing air and breath to your brain, and you're oxygenating it long enough to think clearly. So I practice breath work all the time. But more so when I was in pain, because it really helped ease it and settle my nervous system down so I can think. How am I going? What's my next step? And my first step was to consider, when you prioritize, you write them all down. I listed everything down. Okay, this A, B, C, prioritized them. And then I started making call, ask, knock, right? The doors will open. So I took that theory and I said, okay, if I'm going to knock, I want my first thing to get me a flight home. And I, from the teamwork that I had done from team management years ago in my training, there was a gentleman who was part of Angel Flight. So I immediately called him. He immediately got into action calling other people, because I asked, right? And I said, I always set an intention, and my intention before I made the first call was, I'm going to focus on my healing and I'm going to create a team and they're going to do everything else to get me home. And that's exactly what happened.
Wow.
So, yeah. It was
really— Let me ring my bell for that. Yeah. And so what I want to say to our listeners, as you're listening to this, I'm going to encourage you to listen to what Karen has just said. And don't let yourself have to get into a massive, you know, body-breaking accident before you're willing to stop and change and shift and allow yourself to focus on what I heard there, Karen, is you focused on one thing. You focused on your healing and everything else was getting delegated. And so for a leading visionary, focus on your vision. As the leading visionary, your work is to stay focused on the vision and enrolling people in your vision, enrolling people in your vision. That's literally all you have to do as the leading visionary. And so I'm going to encourage you to think about what Karen has said here. So Karen, in the last couple of minutes that we have, what I'd love to have you maybe share with our audience right now is, who are the people that you most enjoy, or organizations that you most enjoy being hired by?
Yeah, well, I certainly, because health and well-being, and my health is my wealth, I can really relate to that. A lot of coaches and consultants as well, because they struggle with the self-confidence. Am I doing it right? The imposter syndrome. And what most people don't realize is all of those struggles you're going through, whether you realize it or not, the subconscious struggles are creating stress. And your body is always talking. always talking. If you don't listen, it knocks louder. If you don't listen, it knocks even louder. And the next thing you know, you're either burnt out, you're with diabetes, heart disease, cancers, so on and so forth. So I love really those people who are body conscious, who have that well-being consciousness of wanting something so badly that you're willing to really do what it takes, you know, and get yourself out of your own way to move forward. And I just, right now, I'm focusing on coaches and consultants and those businesses that can use my services in that realm. So,
yeah, beautiful. Well, what I heard there is if you're struggling, that equals stress, and stress then equals sickness. So maybe stop and change and shift before the struggle gets to turn into sickness. Yeah, we don't need that. One last question, Karen, and it's because we got the shiver with the near-death experience. Like, you're the first person that's been on this podcast to have had a near-death experience that at least that has told me. So is there anything from that experience that you know would be of service to our listening audience or potential people who might consider hiring you that would make sense for you to share with us before we close?
Well, from that experience, everything in life to me is a lesson. Everything, right? Things happen for a reason. There's always a silver lining in even my hips, right? Even my accident, rather. And what came out of that experience for me was I have a purpose. And what I felt was every one of us has a purpose. And part of that self-discovery that I take my clients on is not just knowing yourself, but it's really getting present to what your purpose is. Because once you have a direction of where you're going, the rest just falls into place. So you'll really get that sense when you start embodying the work that you're on purpose. And once you're on purpose, it's not work, it's play. For me, I play. I could play every day, you know, and I love it. I love
it. Beautiful. All right. Well, thank you so much, Karen. It's been a pleasure to have you here. Listeners, we do love feedback. Please let us know what you think of this show by joining our community, sharing your takeaways, asking questions, or submitting guest suggestions. You can weave your visionary thread into our fabric by opting in on our website at leadingvisionariespodcast.com or by interacting with us on social. Look for the handle at Leading Visionaries Podcast on all the major platforms. Thank you so much for tuning in. Keep your eyes, ears, and hearts open. And remember, you are here to create conscious change.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to rate and review Leading Visionaries on Apple Podcasts and share with other people you know who can benefit from today's episode. Leading Visionaries is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leading visionaries who are called to create conscious change and know that now is the best time to welcome wealth and cultivate a web of collaborative support to bring their vision to life. We invite your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of new episodes at leadingvisionariespodcast.com.